When you look up at the sky in the southern hemisphere, you'll see the pointer stars. And the brightest pointer star is Alpha Centauri, our nearest star, and that's a full 4 years old. So the light coming from there has come, spent 4 years travelling in space. And so if you were to get a really powerful telescope and look at a calendar there, you'd note, compared to our calendar, it's 4 years old. And that's what I'm going to really get into in this episode of Peter Hill Explains, where I talk about things scientific. Now, while I'm going to deal with this, there's a sort of larger topic in that people teach Einstein special relativity and general relativity very, very poorly, inasmuch that they don't actually teach the first basics. So if you don't know the basics, learning special relativity, you can learn a few facts, but then you get confused a bit later on. So we're not actually going to cover special relativity or general relativity in this episode. We're going to cover the basics. So I sort of break it up into Einstein 0.0, which is the real basics, then Einstein 0.1, or Einstein 1.0, which is special relativity, and Einstein 2.0, which is general relativity. So 1.0 is when things start to travel close, or as a fraction of the speed of light. Their clocks go a bit funny, lengths go a bit funny, their angle and space as they come to you starts to rotate as it comes in space. So lots of interesting aspects. And then general relativity is again about acceleration, when the rocket takes off and you can feel the pressure of gravity, or you feel gravity. And in general, the greater the gravity, the greater the acceleration, the slower time goes. So around a black hole, time really, really slows down. And if you look out, you'd see the rest of the universe, the galaxy, with the blue light, with the light being blue shifted, coming into you very fast, and you'd see things begin to orbit more quickly. But we're not going to get into that. We're just going to get into Einstein 0.0, which is just the real basics of it. And rather than trying to get your mind around going to Alpha Centauri, which is a very, very long, far distance away. So if you had our star and shrunk it down to the size of a cashew, which is one of those little sugar spheres that you have on cupcakes, you shrunk it down to that size, the Alpha Centauri would be a staggering 40 kilometres away. So that's a huge long distance away. So that's going to be too long for us, and too much for your imagination. So in this particular episode, I want you to imagine that you've got two atomic clocks, wristwatches, one on your left hand and one on your right hand, and you can read them. Obviously, they'll be going billions of times a second, but you can actually read it on a nanosecond. So a nanosecond is 1/1,000,000th of a second. And light travels roughly 1/4 or 60 centimetres, or, correction, not 60, 30 centimetres in 1 nanosecond. So if you said your arm is 1 metre long, and you held the two watches up to your eyes, you could see that, and they were timed, made perfectly together. Those two watches, if you put up to your eyes, would be, when they hit the 1 second tick, they'd be in sync, they'd be synchronized to exactly 1 second. There'd be no nanosecond difference or delay. But if you kept your right-hand clock near your eye, and you pushed your left-hand clock, your left hand, a full meter away at the end of your hand, and looked at it, you would notice, if you were smart enough and could read the time well enough, that your clock on your left hand has actually gone 3 nanoseconds more slowly. So this is a bit more difference from Alpha Centauri being 4 light years, 4 years behind. Your arm as it travels away from you, actually goes into the past by 3 nanoseconds. Now, what actually happens here is that as you move your arm ever so slowly away, it redshifts a bit, the actual... So the time, say you have a signal carrying that, the light coming to you, stretches out that much more. It has the actual tape, if you imagine the light being basically a film arriving to you, the length of time of that film is 3 nanoseconds light travel to you. So as you go away, the light stretches a little bit, and you eventually add in an extra 3 nanoseconds of oscillation coming in as the light stretches and redshifts as you go further further away from you. And so your hand travels into the past by 3 nanoseconds. Now, if you start to bring the clock closer towards you, the actual clock appears to speed up as it blue shifts. So each of those little ticks, being a, say, a frequency of light, being a one wavelength of light going up and down, being a tick, those ticks will start to speed up ever so slightly, because you move your arm really, really slowly, they speed up ever so slightly until it catches up, and it moves from the past into the present, which is the present in front of your head. In fact, it's a key point to Einstein that everyone is an observer, is basically they have a time frame for the universe in front of their head, and anywhere they look out is in their past. They can't get into the future. Their presence is just between their two eyes, and as you look further away, and to get that going again, you have to actually slow the time of your clock as you move it away. It redshifts and the light travels more slowly. And when you leave it there, your clock sits. It slowly begins to slow a little bit until it's 3 nanoseconds behind that you're looking at it. And it's not actually slowing down, it's just that the light getting towards you is redshifted and pulled out a bit. So the ticks, if each frequency of light, each oscillation of light is slowed down, it's as though the clock, and you could hear it going tick-tock, tick-tock. If you could hear the light, you can actually see the light effectively, you could hear, so seeing red light is like listening to a lower frequency sound. So if it goes tick-tock, tick-tock, you'd hear it go tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. So what would happen is as it was moving away from you, the frequency would slow down a little bit, and then when it was back at 3 nanoseconds behind, it would still keep pace. The ticks that you'd hear would be exactly the same. It's no longer moving away from you. And when you move it towards you, it would go tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. So that's how things move. The time of objects moving away from you slows down, and the time of objects moving towards you increases its rate, such that things in the past move, as far as you can see, start to move through time more quickly and catch up. But as they move away, they fall into your past. And it sort of makes sense. And this is part of a fundamental understanding of Einstein. I haven't actually talked about time dilation or anything like that. I've only just talked about the real basics. And it sort of explains about how you can actually be in a spaceship and travel to Alpha Centauri, and the time will the time will slow down as you go out there, and it will slow down sufficient that by the time you reach there, you'll be a full 4 years behind me. If I'm looking at you, the the light reaching me will be 4 years behind. And then as you get in your spaceship and travel towards me, the blue shift will, if I look at your clock, which was 4 years behind, I can now see it come towards me, and it will speed up ever that much so it's exactly the same time. And that's not really, you're not traveling at the speed of light, you're traveling at a reasonable speed, and there's no distortions of space-time. Now this sort of means that if you look at the edge of the universe where things are traveling away really quickly, things are redshifted, and as they're traveling away really quickly, time appears to slow down. In fact, you can actually get a good measure of how far something is traveling away from you by seeing a standard unit of time, which is a supernova. So there are certain types of supernovas which go for precisely 26 days, but that 26 days extends to 27, sometimes a factor of even 1.5, we can see it slowed down. So we can actually really monitor how fast things are moving away from us. And that's the origin of the Australian Nobel Prize for looking at the acceleration of things away from space. Now, I'll just quickly close this off because it's a nice, quick podcast by addressing, we've done Einstein 0.0. Einstein 1.0 is that if you move away, or if you start to travel at a reasonable fraction of the speed of light in any direction towards me and away from me, doesn't really matter. It doesn't. The sign of the velocity doesn't matter, and also the direction of the velocity doesn't matter. That's something to really get your mind around. If something is traveling a good fraction of the speed of light, due to time dilation, I will see that clock slow down. I will see that the clock in that frame slow down. And so one case of that would be an atomic particle accelerating through space, smashes into space, into our atmosphere, creates muons, which are heavy electrons. They then shower down at a fraction of the speed of light. The clock inside that muon will, as far as I can read, slow down. And so those muons, which would only really last a couple of meters in the upper atmosphere, shower down to Earth because they've got a suspended time clock. So we've got this Einstein 1.0, which is actually the clock in any moving frame will slow down. And this obviously creates a paradox that if I send my clock to Alpha Centauri at speed and then return at speed, I will observe that clock will slow down in addition to the Einstein 0.0. So this is a really important thing, and people often teach directly Einstein 1.0, and students who try and work it out have got some idea of Einstein 0.0, but that the teacher's unaware of the complexities or the simplicity of 0.0. This is things moving back and forward into the past and out of the past. Now, again, if you teach Einstein 1.0, you get all these cute physics effects of mass, time dilation, mass dilation, and length contraction. So the length will contract. So as it travels a good fraction of the speed of light, I will look at it in my, if I have a ruler travelling past me at the speed of light and I look at it, take a snapshot of it, that ruler will actually shrink in size. And that's Einstein 1.0. And so this is travelling at a fraction of the speed of light. You then have the paradox, the twin paradox, that if I'm here, I've got a watch, I'm holding a watch, and I put a watch on my twin, and they travel to Alpha Centauri and travel back. Einstein 0.0 will explain that their clock will go into the past and come into the future, or come into my present, go into my past, and then go faster to come back into my present. Now, teachers don't teach this, and it's just... When students ask a question, you can explain a little bit of it, and they often get a bit, oh, it's not in the textbook, or no, I'm upset. But you then add to it something that they can understand, because it's been taught in the textbooks, it's Einstein 1.0, special relativity. You have the paradox there that the twin travels to Alpha Centauri at a reasonable clip and comes back at a reasonable speed. That is, to survive the journey, it's not thousands of years, but it's, say, 20 years return, there should be a disparity, because I can actually watch that their clock has slowed down, and they've got to have a thing that my watch speeds up. So how can that happen? How can that happen? And what actually happens is that the difference between the two twins, the person who stays on Earth and the person who accelerates up to speed to get to Alpha Centauri, then accelerates a huge amount again to turn around and decelerates a huge amount of time again, is that they've experienced four fairly intense gravitational fields. And the gravitational fields is an acceleration, and that too will slow their clock. And experience a gravitational field that you experience, and as being, say, equivalent to a black hole looking out again, you'll see space will speed up. So I will see the twin experience a gravitational field, okay, even though they're traveling fast and all that type of stuff. I will see experience a gravitational field, which will explain the time difference, and they will see me not experience the gravitational field, and that will explain why my clock appears to go a little bit faster. So there you've got the twin paradox, which is often quoted as people are trying to work their way through Einstein 1.0, and they don't realise, you know, how to resolve this paradox, which is 2.0, but they can't really understand it in the very first place from Einstein 0.0. Now, I have to explain to anyone listening that my breaking up of the Einstein 0.0, 1.0, which is special relativity, and general relativity 2.0, is just a way of... pointing out to people that there is a big gap in the way that we teach things, and I hope that listening to this and putting things down on a piece of paper, you contemplating the idea of two atomic clocks on your left and right hand, and how if you hold one, they're both up to your face, they're in your presence, but if you pull one away, it's in your past, and how that can go into your past and into the future by Doppler shifting, changing the way that I hear the clicks, the actual tick-tock of your clock. If you can understand that, I think we've done a fair way, and it's not a big step, but it's a very solid step to understanding the three levels of Einstein. And what I've introduced you to tonight is the hidden zeroth level of Einstein. So that's all for tonight. It's Peter Hill Explains, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.